This is the Context Podcast. Context Magazine is a publication of the American Sociological Association.
Welcome to the Context Podcast. This is Taiyang Han
and Libby Luth
from Rutgers University. Today we are talking with Min-Jung Kim, a sociologist at Virginia Tech, about her article Missing Romance, which appears in the summer 2013 issue of Context. In the article, Dr. King critiques representations of Asian Americans' romantic relationship in U.S. mainstream media. She argues that portrayals of Asian American romance reinforce historical stereotypes that Asian Americans do not assimilate into U.S. culture. Furthermore, U.S. media representation of Asian Americans imply that the only way in which they can assimilate is through partnering with whites. Not only do such portrayals reinforce unhelpful stereotypes, King argues, but these types of representation hinder the advancement of meaningful conversation about race. Min-Jung, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
So much of your previous work has focused on Asian women's immigration experience, particularly in South Korea. So this article is a bit different. How did you come to be interested in the topic?
I've always been very interested in the media, and frankly, I wrote my master's thesis about the representation of Asian American women in the Prenup magazine. So my first publication was about the media representation of Asian Americans. When I went to a PhD program in sociology, when I was studying Asian American history, I got really interested in immigration and international migration. And when I was in school, I was particularly interested in Filipina marriage migrants coming to South Korea to marry Korean farmers. So that's how I got into this area of gender, family, and international migration. However, I've been always a critical consumer of the media, and media was something that I always paid attention, and I always have fun project on the side related to the media. And this was, second project after the first publication, Consuming Orientalism.
Okay. So since you mentioned your article, Consuming Orientalism, which it appeared in Qualitative Sociology recently, you and your co-author discuss how Asian women are represented in global print advertising campaigns, as you mentioned. So you make the point that Asian women tend to be either exoticized or overly sexualized. Can you talk a bit about how this work on Asian American women in advertising relates to representations of Asian American romance that you discuss in the Context articles?
I think in Consuming Orientalism, I also talk about these layers of race inequality and gender inequality that are perpetuated through the representation of Asian American women in magazine ads. Related to, and especially with that article, I talk about how Asian American women are portrayed as who are different from the American culture and American people, which implicitly are represented by white. Therefore, they cannot be assimilated into the mainstream society in the U.S. And I found that, interestingly, I found that theme continued in the representation of Asian Americans in interracial relationships.
So can you talk a little bit more specifically about how the representations of Asian American romance in TV and movies, which you discuss in the article, are there ways in which they're very similar to the print magazine, or are there ways that you found that they were different?
This theme of, similability, I think it continues with the Asian American subjects, and I think that's a similarity. The difference between the printed magazine and the television shows and the films, I think, is about how they are represented, who they are represented with. Especially when you look at the romantic relationships, Asian Americans are not there alone. They are with somebody else. Mm-hmm. But who they are with is an issue in missing romance.
Okay. Why do you focus on Asian Americans instead of another minority or immigrant groups such as African Americans or Latinos in the United States?
Well, very simple answer to that is because I'm Asian.
Okay.
And I do pay attention to other racial minorities in the media. However, I guess I'm more gravitated toward the Asian American characters or Asian characters because I'm Asian. Like here comes the personal is political. Finding somebody who I can identify with in the media, I think, is very important. That's why I pay attention to them.
So why do you think, you said a little bit about how, what it means to you personally, but why is it important for people in general to think about how Asian Americans are romantically coupled on TV and in the movies, both Asians and Asian Americans and non people from other racial and ethnic groups?
Right. Well, first of all, I think the media is very important. Even though people say, popular culture seems kind of trivia and it is just, like everyday consumption, especially if for those people who are dealing with, like more grave issues like, poverty and, violence and things like that, may not see popular culture as something important, but media is one of the major institutions in our society, and social institutions, they're social organizations that involve kind of established patterns or patterns of behavior. We have a lot of different types of institutions like family, marriage, government, medicine, science. And sociologists have shown that these social institutions are intended to meet the needs of society. However, we have also found that they actually meet some people's needs better than others. So others are those who are subjugated populations in our society. Even though this media and institutions, they can do something good, positive for the society, but they also have been a kind of important channel for the perpetuation of oppression and domination. So I think it is very important for us to look at the media critically. Romantic relationships in the media and how they are portrayed is very interesting because the representation of romantic relationship actually have a very normative message, meaning that what is good, meaning what is norm. From when we are young, especially young girls, learn what is right or what is norm through reading, fairy tales, Cinderella and Snow White. And they show that bad people, people who do not conform to what is right or what is norm, they never get you know, their love stories, you know, happily ever after ending. And also in romantic storylines, people, the viewers and audience, they develop this kind of relationship or such as emotional attachment and understanding of the characters by watching their romantic stories. This is why people keep like watching romantic comedies. Even though most people know the formula, we know that the main characters will get together at the end, but they want to watch because they want to know what kind of issues they talk about, and they want to kind of root for the main characters. So it is really important to analyze like what kind of messages are conveyed in the representation of romantic relationships. And those messages are not just about what is good or what is norm in a very abstract sense, but those messages are related to race, gender, and class. Mm-hmm. And other categories of inequality. Mm-hmm.
So the representation of romance in the mainstream TV shows, it's like reflect the power relationship in the whole society. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that the politics of racialized heterosexual masculinity, can you explain it for us?
Sure. Masculinity scholars, the scholars of men's studies, especially Raywin Cornell, talked about hegemonic masculinity, meaning that an ideal form of masculinity in a given society. Of course, hegemonic masculinity doesn't have one form. They always change depending on which context you are in. But masculinity scholars, when they talk about masculinity, what is one of the most significant element in masculinity is heterosexuality. So, which is why in the United States, young boys, when they are trying to show that they are men, they often use, you know, they try to show their heterosexuality or elements of heterosexuality by sexually objectifying women or by using homophobic slurs indicating that they are not homosexual or they are heterosexual. So heterosexuality is a very important element in masculinity. And which is what heterosexual masculinity a term means. So racialized heterosexual masculinity means that there is a racial hierarchy in terms of heterosexual masculinity. And this becomes a very important concept for Asian men because the normative narrative in Hollywood has been that in order to uphold a white male hero status, they always showed Asian men as those who are bad. So they are either asexual or their sexuality is not normal. Mm-hmm. So the storyline usually goes when they have the Asian characters or Asian American characters, Asian American women usually are abused by men of their race or they are, you know, sexually assaulted or violently abused, physically abused, or they were betrayed by Asian men. And they are saved by white men. Mm-hmm. So we see their, like, white man is not just a masculine character, but he's a heterosexual character. And we also see this racial hierarchy among men is established by how romantic relationship is portrayed, mm-hmm. is structured.
Okay, so in the article you talk a lot about the pairing of sort of female Asian Americans with white men. But since we're on the subject of representations of Asian American men, you mentioned the Harold and Kumar series, which are movies that people listening might be familiar with. And that's an example of where the two characters are Asian American men. Can you talk a little bit about how they are coupled in the movies and how they are represented and how that coupling might sort of either perpetuate or challenge the racialized heterosexual masculinity that you've just been discussing with us?
So the racialized heterosexual masculinity has been an explanation for how Asian American women were always in interracial relationships. Ultimately, it is to perpetuate this white man hero status. Then Harold and Kumar came out with the Asian American man as the protagonist, which was really interesting. And of course, for me, it was very interesting to see how Asian men becomes the main characters of the film. Mm-hmm. And also, for me, it was very interesting to see how they were romantically linked. If I talk about the first film, even though Kumar character is very, he was very obsessed with the sexual objectification of women. He's very obnoxious in his way. Not only, he's pot obsessed, activities, but also the way he kind of objectify other women. He is so obsessed with the pot. They actually have a scene where he is actually dancing and having sex with the pot, a bag of pot, rather than women. So at the end of the first film, Harold actually is able to, have courage to ask out his neighbor. So he was able to actually overcome this very shy man image. Mm-hmm. And ask a woman out, whereas Kumar actually seems not very interested in forming any romantic relationship. So even though we had this Asian American protagonist, the main protagonist, we also see kind of remnants of old racialized representation of Asian men, meaning that they are kind of asexual, or their masculinity or heterosexual masculinity is not strong enough. So we don't actually get to see Harold, even though in his imagination we see that, but asking a woman out was all he could do in the film. So we did not see a kind of full-fledged romantic relationship we could see with, white characters. And then in the second film, we see the same thing. However, because they are kind of looking for women partners, meaning that Harold, even though he asked a woman out, but he didn't actually get to spend any time with her. Mm-hmm. And then we now see a love interest for Kumar, and they try to find her. So in the second movie, I think it was kind of redemption where these two men end up with women, even though it was very short at the end of the film when the credits were rolling. So we, in the first film, we kind of saw, the limited heterosexual masculinity. In the second film, we had a happy ending, kind of. So the second film could be seen as improvement, but what I felt was interesting was that they both were in interracial relationships. Mm-hmm. So Harold was with the Latina, and Kumar was with the white woman.
So I, in thinking about this and after reading your article, but I was thinking about Rajesh Kuthrapali in The Big Bang Theory. Do you watch the show still on a, or have you watched it on a regular basis?
I do watch the show.
Okay, and so do I. And you mentioned in the article that he is portrayed in a typically Asian male way, that it's consistent with stereotypes. He's lecherous. He's somewhat feminine. And throughout all of the seasons, there's this idea that he is silent in the presence of women. He's completely unable to talk to them. And he has, in the last several weeks, developed a relationship with a woman who is equally socially awkward and unable to speak with men. And I'm just wondering if what you think, what your opinion is about that sort of added dimension of the silence and his inability to communicate, and how the writers are sort of pairing him, the, you know, the trajectory of, and she is white, by the way.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, that show is problematic. Even though I watched the show, the show is one of the most popular shows, but the show is very problematic
yes.
in many ways. Gender representations and how, especially the main character, Sheldon, is seemingly blind to sexism that he perpetuates.
Yeah.
Very problematic. And Rajesh character is very interesting, especially if you understand the history of representation of Asian men. So I mentioned in the article how he actually combined both polarized images, dichotomous images of Asian men that is one asexual. So as I mentioned before, in order to achieve masculinity, man has to show heterosexuality as well. Even though we saw a lot of martial artists, Asian men who are physically strong, but not many of them actually show heterosexuality, meaning that they are not romantically linked with other women in the movies. So heterosexuality is missing. So asexuality, especially with the Asian men, is problematic because they undermine their masculinity. And that being silent, and not being able to actually talk to women, is aligned with that quote-unquote asexuality. Of course, asexuality is never accepted as something that people can have. People do not really understand asexuality as one legitimate category. So, meaning that if men are quote-unquote asexual, then they are feminized, which is why we see with Rajesh character is not only that the hint of a homosexual relationship with other men, but also he is, you know, fan of Oprah. He's, you know, like, he loves Twilight series. He does all the, he consumes a lot of things that supposedly women, mostly women enjoy. And then when he drinks, when he can actually talk to women, he becomes the most obnoxious man you can ever see, and very sexually active. However, sexual activity is not within quote unquote the norm, right? Mm-hmm. That kind of lecherous sexuality has been associated with Asian men. In many movies, we see, especially in the 80s, there were a lot of movies with Asian men, Asian gangs, Yakuza related, associated Asian gangs in many action films. A lot of Vietnam movies show Asian men as very violent, they were enemies of Viet Cong. But also they were surrounded in that kind of the almost perverted sexual consumption of women. So they were not not just violent gangs, but this abnormal sexuality. So Rajesh's character really combines these two dichotomous images that were associated with Asian men, and none of them were not normal, quote-unquote normal. And now the new relationship, I'm looking forward to it. on one hand, I kind of feel I want them to be able to have a happy ending. You know, like I hope Rajesh could be able to establish this relationship with the women. However, what I'm finding interesting is that how this woman, I don't know what's going to happen, how she will be, you know, included in the, you know, the other women group. Mm-hmm. I don't want to anticipate anything, but I hope she's able to actually be inside of that group rather than outside. Kashmir Mafia, the TV show I talk about, mm-hmm. Even though it was very short, I think they had 8 episodes total. So the Asian American male character doesn't appear a lot, but when you look at how he is situated in that show with the ensemble cast, is that he was never included inside the group of the main characters. All their significant others, they know each other. They are somehow involved in all the conversations that stories that women share, but the Asian American male character was never included, and they are paired with non-Asian women. Again, it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. So there is like the representation of Asian men and Asian women. They are a stereotype of they are non-pairing with white. They are non-pairing with their the same Asian Americans. So how it reinforces the daily experience of the audience, like especially for Asian young adolescents.
I remember watching a documentary a long time ago where the scholar was talking about how there might be a connection between the prevalent representation of Asian women paired with the white men and the high rate of interracial marriage between white men and Asian women. We cannot actually prove the correlation because there are many variables that shape one's decision to choose their partner. But he suspects that there must be some relation between the image that we are exposed to and how people choose their partner. And there are scholars who have studied the interracial relationship between white men and women and Asian men and women. And they do talk about how the quote-unquote the idealized white status impact their decision. And that idealized white status is perpetuated by the media. And also, I think what is important is how this impacts our everyday life, especially in our discourse of racial politics. Interracial relationship seems a more progressive form. because in the United States, we have a long history of anti-miscegenation. Interracial marriage was not legal for a long time. So interracial marriage or interracial relationship itself is seen as something progressive, and it seems like we are in a kind of post-racial space, meaning that, you know, like racism is past. However, with Asian American or Asian people, we've never actually seen a whole lot of images with Asian couples or Asian couplings. So we were only Asians paired with whites. And the implication of that phenomenon is different. It, in fact, implies that Asians cannot be by themselves to be seen as assimilable to the mainstream society. And that is problematic, and that should be more discussed. So the if you go to the Context website and when you go to the webpage of Missing Romans, I have a couple of links attached to this piece. And one of them is actually talking about how Asian Americans are trying to find Asian American partners than other race. The fact that that becomes a subject of the New York Times article is interesting. I mean, I want people to imagine, you know, watching Asian American couples on TV. Like, to some, it is unimaginable because they have not really seen them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they will think of some stereotypes. I hope people could be more interested in watching them. Talking about this actually makes me think about Glee, because this popular show, Glee, has an Asian American character, which is really great in many ways. However, what is interesting about this character and how they were portrayed is that we don't actually, I mean, they were in the ensemble, but they are kind of marginalized characters, and we don't actually see their romantic relationships. When they come back to the new season, they said, we are now dating. And then the next season, they come back and they're saying that, oh, we now broke up. But we don't really get to see how they got together and how they broke up. And as I mentioned before, you know, like the romantic relationships and how they are portrayed really make the viewers and the audience develop this emotional attachment to those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't actually get to have that kind of process with these characters. So even though Glee made a great decision to have these Asian characters become a couple, but they failed at making the audience develop more close relationship to these characters.
Right, that's really interesting. We're not privy to how they court or how, or the problems that they have and how they break up. I hadn't thought about that, actually.
I have one more question. It's about your context. In the conclusion, you say we probably want to see more kisses on the screen. Okay.
I found a blog, which was also linked to the webpage of this article on the Context website. I found a blog that was written by Asian American man, and when the characters in Kashmir Mafia, when they kissed, he actually posted this blog where he was like so excited to see Asian American characters actually, you know, getting together. So the title up that blog post was the first, you know, kiss of Asian Americans. So I start the article with that. I mean, not his blog, but kind of talking about how Kashmir Mafia has this couple. So, you know, I ended the article wishing that we see more kisses between Asian American characters.
All right. Well, do you have anything else that you'd like to add or things you'd like to leave us thinking about?
I want to mention that I really don't want people to think that I'm against, you know, like interracial relationships or watching interracial relationships. I'm a big fan of The Walking Dead, and we have a character, Asian American character in that show who is actually paired with a white woman. I enjoy watching them, you know, like developing their relationship in this, you know, zombie world. But in the article, I call for more filmmakers, Asian American filmmakers and producers to be able to involve in the mainstream shows. Because in The Walking Dead, there was an episode, you know, Maggie, the white girlfriend of Glenn, the Korean American character, calls to him that you are the real leader of the group. That was a very strong statement, and I was very surprised by that line in that particular episode. And later I found that actually the episode was written by Angela Kang, who is one of the executive producers. So the interracial relationships, even though I problematize that, however, it may not be the core issue is how Asian Americans are portrayed, how Asian American men and women are portrayed. And in order to enrich the media contents that show Asian Americans, I think we really have to get Asian American writers and directors and producers involved in the process. Asian women and, you know, like white men, like when we see the relationship, when we see that interracial relationship, there is a very kind of misogynistic backlash from Asian American men. You know, like, oh, they are taking out women, or, you know, like Asian women, they always love, they always go after white men, not their men. You know, like that very sexist backlash from Asian American men. And that should be critically examined as well. I do not obviously condone that kind of reaction. So not only the kind of U.S. society as a whole, including Asian American community, have to think about these various issues that surround the media representation of Asian Americans.
So, thank you. You've given us a lot to think about on the topic, and I think we feel like this has been a really lively conversation. So we want to thank you again for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.